Thanks, John, and I'm so pleased to be here, and I have to tell you that, wait a minute, how do you do this? That? Yeah, okay, I got it. I did the side arrow. Can y'all hear me? Excuse me. I am an APHA virgin. I've never been to this meeting before, and I'm sort of wowed by it. I was here last week for a different meeting, much smaller. It was a bunch of foundations trying to figure out how to give away money better. But that's what I do. I'm a grant maker. I run the EyeSight Foundation of Alabama. It's a charitable grant-making foundation created in 1997 from the sale of a specialty eye hospital. In our work, in which we fund eye research, eye health education programs, access to care for at-risk citizens, we have created collaborations, we have encouraged collaborations, we have participated in collaborations ourselves. So I'm very familiar with it, and I also know how very, very hard collaborative work can be. We don't take that lightly, and we have been involved in collaborations that unfortunately haven't worked out, and you do learn from those. You have to, because otherwise you just give up. And I never understood until I got into this work how very difficult the eye care community can be. I did not understand how political it can be. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. There's enough shared responsibility for that to go around. But at any rate, it is worth doing. The thing that I have said to my board of trustees, which is a wonderful volunteer board, is I can defend every penny we've spent in our grant making, but for our outreach programs where we're trying to get people connected to services, we're really putting Band-Aids on things. You know, we might be supporting a collaboration of organizations that are doing eye care clinics in rural counties of Alabama. But so for the 50 people that get helped 10 Saturdays a year in that undertaking, it's a wonderful thing for them. But we're not changing the system of why there's even a need to set up this sort of isolated event that happens. And so we've gotten really, really interested in trying to figure out, you know, better ways to support the nonprofits that we serve, who without their existence we couldn't fulfill our mission. So with that said, and I'm sure all of you are involved or have been involved in collaborations, some of them just sort of happen accidentally, some are much more intentional. Types of collaborations, you've got funding collaboratives, public-private partnerships, multi-stakeholder initiatives, social sector networks, and collective impact initiatives. And I was going to tell you a little bit about these several that I've got listed here, but I won't. But these refer to some of the things that we've done that have actually been more successful. I will mention the county health department, since this is public health. That's in Mobile, Alabama, and we actually partnered with several other funders, including Lions Club International Foundation, to create an eye care lane to serve their patients. And that's been extraordinarily successful, and we're real pleased with that. But at any rate, their sources for the type of collaboration I'm going to talk about, collective impact, that's the one that's probably the hardest type to get out, to get at, because everybody has to be in it together, not for their own self-interest. There are five primary features of a collective impact collaboration. And first and foremost, you have to have a common agenda. And I know what John is trying to get at, and all the speakers that preceded me, is you've set these priorities last year that have been referenced. And if we can wrap our arms around several of those, if we could just pick the ones that are, I would suggest, whatever might be considered low-hanging fruit to have some early successes with, that's one approach. But a shared vision, a common understanding of the problem. And I heard great illustrations of the problems facing Americans and their eye health, and I see it all the time in my own work. There also needs to be shared measurement. Everybody needs to be working with the same set of data. Needs to be consistent and needs to be measured. This gets back to the surveillance. It gets back to the... I love the fact that Jinji was saying the NIH is going to post the information that anyone will be able to access. I think that's great. And everybody needs to be accountable to each other in a collective impact undertaking. Mutually and reinforcing activities. So different members of a collaboration can be doing different parts of the puzzle, but they need to reinforce one another. They need to continually be coordinating the efforts, communicating results, and keeping everybody apprised. And I kind of bled into the continuous communication. It's like a good marriage. You just got to keep those lines of communication open so people don't misunderstand or risk being confused about a direction someone's going. So that's a very important element. And then what's really ideal is if there's a backbone organization. There's an entity that has specific staff with specific skill sets that can coordinate all this and have that as a responsibility for all the participants. And that's a very important effort. I think that's probably one of the things that often is hard to identify. And Jeff, you touched on that. You know, the CDC and who was the other? NEHAP, yeah. You know, do they have the resources to serve that role? And they can't do it alone. So we in Alabama have decided to start something. We'll see if it goes well. We're going to establish what's called the Alabama Vision Coalition. And we're actually partnering with Prevent Blindness. They are going to be actually the hiring agency for a coordinator to lead this effort. And the EyeSight Foundation is actually funding this. So we're sort of the backbone organization with Prevent Blindness. But the EyeSight Foundation doesn't really want to be the agenda setter. You know, we want to be the supporter. But what we're going to do is to try to have somebody in place to help start more intentionally building collaborations around some of these very issues that have been discussed today, but trying to focus on them in Alabama. And we've reached out to the Georgia Vision Collaborative, and we'll be reaching out to others as well once we get this person hired. And hopefully we can embrace some of the things that come out of this vision section and be supportive in that manner as well. So that's something we are trying to establish. And I've got the same list of priorities that John has shared, and I was so pleased that fourth one, strong collaborations and partnerships to achieve Healthy People 2020 vision objectives, is right up there close to the top, because it's going to take the collaborations. There's not one single individual, group, organization that can get at these issues to help improve eye health in America by themselves. So, and again, the IOM report, I think we're all on target to try to figure out how to help inform that report, help provide good information to the committee that's working on it, as well as to take the results from it and help implement it in a way that helps everybody. So, okay, we're into the eyes now. So this is going to take, wait a minute, I actually wrote a statement. I couldn't memorize it. It will take each of us being inspired toward collaborative interaction to initiate and implement inclusive innovation through interconnectedness to finally achieve collective impact. And with that, so, John, I don't know how you want to do this. I know we're right almost at 10.
Yeah, well, let's thank you. This is such a great, you know, this is a powerful set of presentations. I wish we had more people from our own section here. What I what I want to think about is what can we do between now and next year? And so we're going to launch the IOM. That's underway. We're going to write this HAPH article that will incorporate what we have heard here. I think one opportunity for us is the healthiest nation thing. So here's just, let's talk about this in a minute or two that we've got left. If we are going to partner, collaborate with somebody else to move our agenda, what could we reasonably do or initiate in this coming year? Who would that be? And we can just record this. We don't need our flip chart to do that. But who would that be? We want to move this agenda forward. So who should we be talking to?
John.
Yes.
First of all, on the editorial, have you planned to see what AJPH did?
No.
You might want to do that.
Good point. I don't think that new editor yet. Jeff?
I think as far as partnering, I think number one, we need to partner with APHA.
Good point.
And by that I mean that, you know, when we're looking at, especially on the policy side, you know, sometimes I've struggled when we try as a section to have an issue where we needed to do something from a policy perspective, and we approach the staff at APHA and our government affairs office, it's been a little silent because there's some of these big issues that APHA really wants to grapple, and they're important ones. But I think that if this section is really passionate around policy, we need some support internally from APHA, so trying to get them on board with our efforts. Not that we could.
No, that's an excellent idea. That's good. I'm done. Tony?
John, based on the brief exchange we had yesterday, very powerful children's vision formed yesterday, looking at the school-based health system. Brief exchange there in terms of doing things like just to find the pump in terms of collaboration and joint resolution.
Oh yeah.
Across those sections, that just seems to be there to be had.
Yeah, excellent idea. Okay, good. Well, this is starting to come together. Okay, other ideas. Yeah, more?
The most logical and the most difficult one is how are we going to overcome some of the opposition, the barriers that we have? And certainly that there are so many issues that have to be overcome, but it's so necessary to incorporate that
action to be successful. Okay. Yeah. Let's I'm 68. I'm trying to. good. And I think there are ways to do that. You know, there are some young ophthalmologists, and we really need to make them feel welcome and engaged and a part of our group. So I think we can chip away at that. Yes, back here first.
I think in addition to ophthalmology, I think if you look at people a little bit more broadly in medicine, more generally, look at endocrinology and primary care and optometrists. So we people that we want to catch earlier.
Yeah.
In addition to ophthalmology, I think.
Yeah, excellent idea. Okay. Tony?
Same with chronic disease, and we're seeking, you know, disease model as well, about bringing in endocrinology and other things. what I'm thinking offhand. I don't know what the timeline is for this healthiest nation. I have no idea, you know, what the lead is, but we could align these ideas with that. And so the idea of this joint resolution, we can have that as next year. I mean, that could be done this year, and that could be a first step. Another piece then is to, and I'm glad you mentioned the policy business. What I think we can do is start engaging the APHA policy. I did have a brief conversation about the IOM, just let them know that was happening. But if we do that now, before everybody gets busy with next year, we can bring them on board with that. So alert them, promote that, and then try to use that to inform, I don't know why I'm pointing to you, Janice, but inform this healthiest nation thing. And so if we're kind of driving toward that, then APHA, then we're part of the APHA agenda, and we can show them. And I just love these presentations because they show how these kind of intractable and insurmountable problems, how they can be taken apart and start to fix them. So if we kind of work on this access and refractive error and so forth, then that could be this major contribution. So this is cool. Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other ideas? Well, I just want to thank our presenters for outstanding presentations. I mean, these should be archived. These should be broadly available. They should be part of the program. So thank you so much.